I started last Sunday morning on eternity, dealing with eternity, and there's only how many places to go? Two places. So we settled that, the two places, heaven or hell. But I think it also brings to mind a lot of questions that I've been asked over the years about death and what happens. For example, why should I want to go to heaven? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? Or what happens when we die? Well, that depends on if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. But today, I hope for time's sake, because I can't deal with everything in one message, but for time's sake, I'm going to deal in particular with what happens with Christians when they die. The Bible teaches us some things about death and what happens when a Christian dies. Somebody asked the question a few days ago. They text me through, and I'm not embarrassing anyone. These are legitimate questions. These are questions I have asked myself. And the question they ask is, why do the dead in Christ rise first? That's a reasonable question. And they followed it up with another question. When a Christian dies, if we are in heaven with the Lord, then why does the Bible say we're asleep? Are we asleep or are we in heaven? Do I have your attention now? And I think that's a legitimate question. You know, why do we say that Christians sleep? You know, the Bible says we shall not prevent them, which means we shall not precede them which are asleep, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to say a few things that's going to blow your mind this morning. Not because you didn't know it, it's just something that you need to stop and think about. And I'll only have 2 points to the message, but man, are they long. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to verse 17 first. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You're yet in your sins. So you gotta accept this. If there's no resurrection, we're lost. That's the first thing he says. And he said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. The second thing is fallen asleep is the term for death. And he's saying Christians that have died, they would perish if Christ is not risen from the dead. But thank God that's not the end and they don't perish. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If your hope is just here, you're in trouble. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become, look at the next two words, the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ is, here it is again, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. In other words, he's the first fruit. He was the first one resurrected from the dead. So as Jesus was, so shall we be. And here's the question in verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? If you're a Christian, do you want to know what kind of body you're going to have? Now you say, wait a minute. It said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man the things that God's prepared for them that love and serve him. That's true, but you stop short. The Spirit's revealed them unto us. And how does the Spirit reveal them unto us? Well, the Spirit can speak expressly, the Bible says, but also the Spirit can teach us from his word. And that's exactly what happens in this particular passage. There's two simple points to Christians that die in Christ. Those that have trust of the Lord, that die in Christ, there's two promises about our resurrected body. Number one, our body will be like Jesus' resurrected body. That's the first promise. He is the first fruits. In other words, he's not the last, he's the beginning. Well, if you've ever, we had an orchard growing up, and you know, when a tree bore fruit, we didn't want to get just one apple or one peach off of it. There was nothing like the first one of the season, but there was more to come. And what he's saying is that just like Jesus and his resurrected body, that will be the way that we are. Now, I'm going to use two words in a minute that they sound a lot alike, but they're not alike. If you really want to see what Jesus' resurrected body was like, we've got to go back to Luke 24. Luke 24. If you go back to Luke 24, you'll see some things in this particular passage. You remember Luke 24, will you allow me just to maybe paraphrase a few things and then I'll point out a few verses to you, and it's not that I'm adding or taking away, but this is after the resurrection. Two men are walking on a road to Emmaus and they're talking about what they have just seen happen. They've seen the Son of Glory crucified. They've seen him placed in a tomb. Now they have heard and have witnessed now that he's resurrected, but it's almost like they can't perceive what's really happened in their mind. They can't get their mind around everything. I can't get my mind around what I'm about to preach to you, but I know it's real. I mean, it's bigger than my way of thinking, bigger than your way of thinking. It's not that we're weak or we lack faith. This is just so great what Christ has done. I can't imagine why he'd do this for us. It's how wonderful it is. And then as they're walking, suddenly they don't know who he is, but he starts a conversation. And basically they say, haven't you heard? Don't you know what's happened? And then he reveals himself to them. The Bible says in verse 31, their eyes were open and they knew him. What's the next phrase? And he, what? Vanished out of their sight. He vanished out of their sight. The next thing you read about him is in verse 36. He stands in the middle of them. They're now gathered together with the others. He stands in the middle of them and says, peace be unto you. Verse 32, they're terrified. They think it's a spirit. They know that he's there and he starts talking to them and he said, look in verse 39, behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Notice he doesn't say flesh and blood. He says flesh and bones. The life of the flesh now is in the blood. But the spiritual body, your life doesn't exist by the blood. Because if the blood would cease, then your body would not be immortal and last forever. See, Adam and Eve had conditional immortality. On the condition that they didn't go against God, they would live forever. But the day they ate thereof, they died. Spiritually, they died. Their spirit died immediately, and eventually, their body died. Now stay with me. And he said in verse 41, he asked a question. Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Verse 50, he leads them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now let's think about this. We're going to have a body like Jesus had. This tells us a lot about the kind of body that we're going to have. The heaven is a real place. And when you get your glorified body, it will be a body. Maybe let it soak in a minute, because I know it's a lot to take in when we think of it. It will be a body. but it will have flesh and bone. He tells us that he still had his senses. Handle me. Touch me. Boy, it's good to get your senses back. Yeah, I've learned that through all of this. Some senses you don't want to lose, trust me. It's good to have your senses back. We have that back. He ate. Did I read that to you? He even told us what he ate. Broiled fish and honeycomb. That was the meal of the day there. That's what they would eat regularly. He ate. Now they didn't know him because their eyes was holding and dizzy. He's teaching us a lesson. We're on this side of the resurrected body. So we're like those men on the road to Emmaus. This is something that we can't fully see and understand until he reveals it to us. But then our eyes are open to it. So you've got a body, and that body will have senses, but it'll be different. How will it be different? Well, most people stop short of what that body will be like. It will be two things. It will be a supernatural body, and it will be a supranatural body. S-U-P-R-A. What's the difference between a supernatural body and a supranatural body? Well, supernatural, the last word being natural, he's saying we're going to have a body like this body now is a natural body. It's flesh, it's bones, it's blood, it's a natural body. But a supernatural body means beyond natural. In other words, let me explain this to you. We'll still be able to see. We'll still be able to see, but we'll see beyond anything we've ever been able to see before. You'll still be able to taste, but you won't gain weight when you eat it. Finally, I got a shout out of you. Think about it. Eat, the marriage supper of the Lamb, 7 years, we'll eat, and not gain any weight. Supernatural, natural, yet beyond nature. You'll feel the touch of a hand of love. Oh, it's going to feel good just to be able to shake hands again, isn't it? You'll feel, but you won't feel pain. And it's not only a supernatural body, it's a supranatural body. Well, what's the difference between those two terms, those two words? Basically, in layman's terms, because I don't want to complicate everything to where I can't understand it. But basically, this is what it means. It means like supernatural soup. It's beyond nature, but yet it's still part of nature. Huh. What do you mean by that? Well, supernatural, for any of you that's writers, you know, when you use that word supra in any type of word, you're referring to something that's been previously cited. So he's saying the only way we can understand the body like Jesus is we've got to understand it'll be a body as we know bodies. And it'll be in an environment that heaven's not. Heaven is not just a spiritual element where you're floating around on a cloud and you're playing a harp. That's not how it works. Because here he is. He's in nature. Well, how do you get that it's a part of yet beyond? Here's the difference. Even though that he was here, just like when he comes back, there'll be a millennial kingdom set up. We're going to be part of that. We're going to be on this new heaven, this new earth that the Bible talks about. We'll be a part of that. He'll rule and reign on the throne, and we'll be here. We'll be on the earth. But it's better than that. The supernatural body can travel at the speed of thought. He wasn't there. He was there and he vanished. Even though he's in nature, nature doesn't hold him back. Nature, the laws of nature now says you're going to die, you're going to get sick, even though you've got a body, you're restricted. If I run into that wall, I will stop. But I'm going to get a body one day, and that's why they thought it was a spirit. They couldn't understand it. I'll still have a body, but I'll be able to run through walls, and I'll be able to leap through. I'm going to be Superman. I'm going to be on this earth 1 minute, and I'm going to be leaping to Mars the next minute, and I'm going to be in the heavens 1 second. Can you imagine having a body that, yes, I know Kevin and Cindy love to hike. Can you imagine having a body that you'll hike and never get tired? We used to have a lot of marathon runners in the church. Can you imagine having a body that you run and 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 never get tired? Supernatural body, a body that has no restrictions. I'm feeling God this morning. Thank God, a body that is unlimited, a body that we don't care if there's a coronavirus, because the King is on the throne. And in that day and in that hour, nothing that plagues these bodies will bother us. It's supernatural and supranatural. A lot of you haven't been able to be at church because you're high risk. No high risk bodies. Nobody ever get old. Nobody will ever get tired. Nobody, isn't that something? We rest, but we don't get tired. How do you explain that, preacher? Haven't you ever just laid in the bed, not because you want to go to sleep, but just because it feels good to lay there? We'll rest, but we won't get tired. There's times it just feels good to lay down, doesn't it? Amen. It does. It just feels good to sit down, not because you're even tired. It just feels good. We'll have a body that's not limited in any way, shape, or form. Yet it's in a real place, and it's with real people, and we'll be together forever and ever. Thank God, a body that'll not only be immortal, it'll be incorruptible, it'll be undefiled, it'll never fade away, it'll be full of honor, it'll be full of glory, it'll be a perfect body in a perfect place. So we'll have a body like Christ, but we'll have a body like ours. Well, where do you get that, preacher? 1 Corinthians 15. When you read this entire chapter, when you go home today, you'll find out the Bible says in verse 46, there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. That's what I'm dealing with, the spiritual body. We'll have a spiritual body. But we'll also, verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. The Bible says, now we know in part, then we'll know as we're known. So even though it will be a spiritual body, it'll be a body that you'll be able to recognize your loved ones. You'll be able to recognize people that you heard about now that you have never seen. Hey, look there. There's King David. I've never seen him, but I know him. How can that be? As we bore the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Sometimes we know one another down here, and time comes along and separation comes along. In revival this week, I had a man walk up to me and he said, hey, do you remember me? And I said, I am so sorry. I don't. And when he told me, I was embarrassed because I have known him well, but we've been apart for 25 years and I hadn't seen him. And I know I look different and he looks a little different, but we're still who we are. And that's what he's saying. He's saying that you need to understand you're going to be who you are, but you'll have a spiritual body, not a natural body. It will be you, but not you. Well, preacher, how is that? Well, that answers the question. If people are asleep, how are they asleep? And we know that Ecclesiastes 12:7 teaches us that we return to dust, but our spirit goes back to God which gave it. We know that Paul taught in this same book, Corinthians, he taught the church at Corinth, he said, if you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Is that scripture or not? You can look it up when you go home. It's Bible. So to be absent is to be present. When you die, this is what happens. There is no such thing as soul sleep. Your soul does not go to sleep. Your body goes to sleep. So when our body, have you ever noticed when you pass by the casket, if a family has a viewing, pass by the casket, how many times have you heard people say, it just looks like they're sleeping? They are. Their body's just sleeping. That's the way it looks. But they're not there. It's kind of like the old epitaph, under this sod beneath these trees lie the remains of Solomon peas. This is not peas, this is just pod. Peas is done shelled out and went home to God. That's exactly what happens. Our soul and our spirit goes to be with God. Now, it's not that way with a sinner. The sinner's spirit is dead. Your spirit gets quickened when you're saved. Your soul is immortal, though. It doesn't ever cease to be. Saved or lost, a million years from this very moment, you'll be somewhere. That's a promise. You'll never see. There was a time when you were not. There will never be a time when you won't be again. You'll never cease to be. But the sinner, their soul goes to hell. The Christian, they have a soul and spirit that is separated from the body that is asleep. And they go to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body. Is to be present with the Lord. Well, what happens? Well, to the sinner, death and hell will give up the dead that are in them. They don't get a resurrected body that is a spiritual body. They are doomed from hell to only get their judgment to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Really, the lake of fire is not hell in and of itself. Hell is cast in the lake of fire, and death is cast with it. That's why it's destroyed forever. It's barred forever. It'll never be again for the Christian. Hallelujah. No more death. But the Christian, they're with the Lord. The Bible says there's coming a new heaven and a new earth in this series. I hope to preach about the new heaven and the new earth. I'm telling you, folks, this is so fantastic. You don't want to miss heaven. I'm not talking about missing the sermon. I'm talking about you don't want to miss heaven. It's so great. Oh, you don't want to miss it. It's too good to miss. You don't want to miss out on this wonderful, and it's open to everybody. Whosoever will, let them come to Christ. You can all go to heaven. But our loved ones that have died are now with the Lord. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Where are our loved ones at? With the Lord. Where is he coming from? Heaven. Well, why does there have to be a new heaven? The first heaven Lucifer was in, and he sinned. We're going to a heaven where there is no sin. And there is no curse. He'll make a new heaven, a new earth. All things passed away. Behold, all things shall be made new. So our loved ones that have died, we buried their body that was asleep. But their soul and spirit is with the Lord. And they're coming with him. So shall we ever be caught up in the clouds to be with them in the air. That's the rapture of the church. Well then, what is this? The dead in Christ rise first. That is when, see, at the rapture, instantaneously, oh. Oh my. In a moment of time, we will go through a process. In a twinkling of an eye, we will go through the process that our loved ones went through when they closed their eyes in death and suddenly they were in the presence of the Lord. Just instantly. I don't know when that moment will be, but there's a line drawn where that we leave this world and we're in the presence of the Lord. It's more than drawing our last breath. It is a step into the presence of God that's instantaneously. We close our eyes here in sleep and wake up in heaven and we see Jesus face to face, and there we are, the glorified soul, spirit. But then the dead in Christ, this is when they get their new body at the rapture. Instantly, we do the same thing. We drop this robe of flesh and we receive our glorified body and we go to be with the Lord. It's not that we have died before he is coming. When he comes for us, it all happens at one time for those that are alive that know Christ. But for those that are dead, they rise first because they still have to receive their spiritual body. And evidently, now I'm talking to you from Bible, evidently, it's hard to tell the difference between the two. Because when Jesus appeared in their midst, they were afraid that he was a spirit. But he wasn't a spirit. He was a spiritual body. More than a spirit. Handle me. What are you saying? They know one another now. They do. They're not wandering around. I think you think when we die and go to heaven, God gives us a lobotomy and we just stand around like robots through the ages, don't know anybody. No. Oh no, it's not going to be that way. They'll come from the north, the south, the east, the west with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and sit down in the city of God and we'll know one another, but it'll be so different. I don't know if I'll go by way of the rapture. It's looking like very well like I may and that you may. But if we don't go by the rapture, we're not without hope. That's what I'm telling you. We may go to sleep in this body, but we'll be more alive than we've ever been before. And then one day we'll get the same spiritual body that Jesus has, and we can say, go ahead, touch me, handle me, come on over here, young'uns, I want to give you a big hug. There's no coronavirus here. Come on over here, grandkids, I want to kiss you. I'm not able to kiss you now, back then, but I can now. We've got a brand new body, and in that body it'll be age proof, disease proof, time proof. While the ages roll, we'll be alive forevermore. But if you're lost, that's not the case for you. Today, somebody needs to make sure that you're ready for heaven. How does God separate the two? The spirit of a dead person, of a person that's lost, is dead. They're already dead. He has no problem telling who's alive and who's dead. Those that are his have the spirit. If we have not the spirit, we are none of his. What's he talking about? He quickens our spirit while we're alive. Why do you think all these people standing up today with their hands up, they'd have never done that as a sinner? Not in church. They would have for temporal things, but they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it in church. Some of you right now, you're going to go home. The devil said, you look foolish today. You just look back at the devil and say, yeah, but I know where you're going and I know where I'm going. And where I'm going, you can't come. And there's a reason why I get so excited, because I know I'm going where you're not going. And I know I'm going to a better place and a better land. And I know what I was, and I know what I am now. And I'm no longer dead. I'm alive in Christ. And every now and then I just have to move to tell the devil, I'm still here. I'm still going. I'm still believing. I'm still trusting God. I know that God will see me through. Let's stand together. They'll come. They'll sing. What will our body be like if you're saved? It'll be like Jesus' resurrected body. It will be like our body, but it'll be supernatural and supernatural. And today, you need to know, if you're lost, you need to come to life in Christ. You need to know that you're alive. Let him save you. Be born again. What's that mean? He quickens your spirit. He brings you to life. You're here today and you need him. You ought to come.